anything that I say this morning, it's all Jim Culbertson's fault. And I mean this in the nicest of ways, but I'm leaving the service last week. He comes up to the enemy at the service after the message last week, and he says, go home and look up Doppler effect. And I did. And at first, I didn't understand it. I thought, well, I did. I mean, it was like I got it, and it was like, yeah, that's cool. And I'm thinking, but I don't really know if I'm connecting it the way Jim was seeing it. So every time I turned around this week, it kept coming back again. It was like I couldn't escape the Doppler effect. I was trapped in it. And by the end of the week, and Friday morning, I started studying, and I'm in the text we're in this morning in Ephesians 6, and all of a sudden the Lord said, it's the Doppler effect. And it was like, wow, really? And so I get to share that this morning, so if you don't like it, talk to Jim. It is his fault. It is, the Lord used him to bring this up. So I've got a couple videos, short videos, to watch this morning as we begin, but I want to share this verse. Romans 1:20 says, for the unseen things of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And that from the creation of the world, the word world is cosmos, and it means system. And oftentimes in scripture, when it's talking about the system, it's talking about the world system, as in the flesh and blood and all the bad things that are going on, and it's not the kingdom system, but the world system. But I believe what it's speaking of here, it says, from the creation of the systems. Okay, the systems would be some of the things that we observe in the laws of physics. There are certain things in creation, gravity being one of those. Gravity functions, whether you believe it, whether you understand it, whether anything about it, gravity works. Okay, doesn't matter where you go on the earth, it works. There are laws of physics. There are things that we understand in the physical. We know that the sun is going to rise in the morning. We know it's going to set in the afternoon. And there are patterns and there are things, and the Bible reveals that these things are in covenant. God spoke and they are. And they are because when he speaks, they become laws, and the establishment of that law is the covenant that he has with his creation. Everybody follow that? If you did, you can explain it to me after the service, because I get it, but I don't. Okay? The things that we discuss, these things operate, and what this is declaring is if we will look at some of the things in creation, they will reveal spiritual principle to us. So then by faith, you understand that the things that are happening in the physical are also happening, and they are an example of what's happening in the spiritual. So it lets you know this is what you're doing or what you're not doing, and these is the cause and effect of the things in the spirit. Everybody get that? All right. Then it says, being understood by the things made, both his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. And basically this is saying the things of God are revealed in creation. And we will not stand before him with an excuse on why we didn't believe in him. It's obvious if we will look at creation. Okay, this is where the whole issue comes down. Do you believe that everything is created? One of these videos that I'm going to show this morning, at the very end, they liken it to, this is one of the things that they back up the Big Bang Theory. Okay, I'll give you a bigger bang theory by the time we get done with today, and I will kind of tell you where I go with it. I don't agree with the Big Bang Theory, but I think my friend Robert Key said it best in his 7th grade science class, and they were talking about the Big Bang Theory, and he said, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said it, and bang, it happened. And pretty much that's where I stand on the whole thing. So I'm going to show a couple videos. I'm going to watch from the sound booth and control this. They're about 3 minutes apiece, and then we'll just see where God takes this. So give me just a second. Be this channel right here, DVD. There we go.
The Doppler effect. Turn it up. In Sheldon's words, it's the apparent change in the frequency of a wave caused by relative motion between the source of the wave and the observer. The Doppler effect is perhaps best explained visually. So here's a thing that is emitting waves. It could be a fire truck emitting sound, it could be a star emitting light, it could be a duck creating ripples on a pond. Those are all waves, and they all look something like this. We see the Doppler effect happening when the thing that is emitting waves moves. In the direction it's moving, the wave fronts bunch up, and behind it, they spread out. If our object is moving towards a stationary observer, these bunched up waves are observed at a high frequency, and if the object is moving away from a stationary observer, the waves are observed at a lower frequency. that is the Doppler effect, the apparent change in the frequency of a wave caused by relative motion between the source of the wave and the observer. It makes sense, but it gets interesting when you consider some of its applications. So let's say you are standing in the middle of a road. That's you. And a car drives past you very fast. As it does so, it honks its horn because you're standing in the middle of the road. The horn to you might sound something like this. So it starts at a high pitch and moves to a lower pitch, even though from the driver's perspective, the horn is playing the same pitch the entire time. So what's going on? As the vehicle's coming towards you, the sound waves that it's emitting bunch up and so are delivered to you at a higher frequency, which you interpret as a higher pitch because the frequency of sound waves is pitch. And then when the vehicle passes you and is moving away from you, the sound waves spread out and so you hear them at a lower frequency, a lower pitch. So that's how the Doppler effect works with sound. It also affects another kind of wave, light. So let's say you look at your observatory and you see a star. Just like the car's sound waves, if the star is moving towards you, even just a little bit, the light waves that it emits will be bunched up, meaning that you see the light at a higher frequency than it actually is. Frequency in sound is pitch, so what does it mean for light? Well, if we look at our handy pocket electromagnetic spectrum chart, we'll see that a small change in frequency for visible light will change its color. Higher frequency light waves means bluer light, and lower frequency light waves means redder light. This is called redshift, and it may possibly be among the weirdest and coolest things of all time. Stars, or anything that you can see, change color depending on their relative motion to you. Of course, you can't see this minute difference with your eyes, but astronomers with the right equipment can use this effect to tell whether stars are moving away from or towards Earth. As it turns out, almost everything we can see in the universe is moving away from us very quickly, which is both an important piece of evidence of the Big Bang and an indication that the Earth might get very lonely in the distant, distant future. Thanks for watching this video. Let me know if you got something out of it. Bye.
Travels at about 760 miles per hour, or 340 meters per second. That's about 661 knots on an average day at sea level. And sometimes you can almost see it. Going close to that speed through air can cause some unusual visual effects. What you're looking at here is a NASA image of an SR-71 bending light waves from the pressure differentials it's producing. Air's pressure and temperature both drop when airspeed increases. Rapid changes in density can be enough to bend light like a lens. How does it happen? Airspeed increases as it flows over the form of an aircraft pushing its way near Mach 1, speed of sound. That means that even aircraft slower than the speed of sound can accelerate the air moving over them beyond the speed of sound. As pressure all around the aircraft drops, that air cools, and as air cools, its ability to hold moisture drops. So if there's enough moisture, you'll see it form in clouds that appear attached to the aircraft itself. But the cone-shaped clouds you see aren't, in fact, traveling with the aircraft. Each section of air is spontaneously reacting to the temperature and pressure change induced by the aircraft's body sliding past. Then there are the shock waves. Shock waves are formed by the air that can't get out of the way fast enough, forming a pressure wave. We perceive that pressure wave as sound. Aircraft actually usually produce two booms. It just reaches so quickly in succession that we can't distinguish the two. All of these factors are quite normal and have come to be expected in images that capture supersonic, transonic, or even near supersonic flight. But on rare occasions, we do get a glimpse of something special. Kennedy Space Center on February 11, 2010, an Atlas rocket launched into ideal conditions for showing off shockwave. And this is the result. hope you've enjoyed this little tour of visual and auditory speed of sound phenomena. Visit avweb.com for aviation news and inside information for pilots. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for watching.
Can you black that? I can't find it black. Oh, it's on that. It's on this computer. All right. Did you follow that? We'll see. Now comes the test. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's open to Ephesians 6. All right. The Doppler effect. And here's how it applies in what we see in the physical. Both of those instances, you can hear it. It's observable with the eye. It's you can hear it with the ear, okay? And if you're standing in the right place, you could feel it. If it's a powerful enough wave, you're going to feel it, okay? Ephesians 6, in reading here this week, it starts off in Ephesians 5, verse 21. It says, submit to one another in the fear of God, okay? And it starts off talking about submitting. And then the next thing it says is, wives submit to the husband. And we've talked about this, and we've heard this, and we've debated this, and I think it's a little cold in here. If we could turn those off. People are shivering. Ephesians 5. I'm going to be in Ephesians 6. I'm setting a little bit backwards here. Anyway, Ephesians 5 starts off the pattern that really is continues in Ephesians 6. It says, wives submit to the husbands, and then it explains why. And we always ask why, and Scripture, in that sense, when it's telling us to submit, and everything that I could find, it tells us why, every time. And then right after that, it goes to the husbands, and it starts telling the husband what they should do. And basically what it's saying in the first thing, it says, submit, and then it says, rule well. And that pattern continues in Ephesians 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. There is the what you do, obey, submit. Obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. And then it tells you why. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may be long lived on the earth. Then it says, and fathers. So it says, submit, and now it says, rule well. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Then it starts again. Slaves, submit. Obey your lords according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't just do it trying to get men's approval. But as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the soul. Serving as slaves with a good will to the Lord and not as to men. So it's saying to the slaves, or to the employees, as we would say it in our culture now, to the employee, don't serve your boss just to please him, but serve him as he is the Lord. Okay? Serve as you are serving the Lord. And everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. So it gets the right heart in there, and then you're less likely to get offended at your boss. So it says to submit, and then it says each one knowing that whatever good things he does, that he will receive from the Lord, whether a slave or a freeman. And then verse 9, rule well. And lords, if you are the employer, do the same things towards them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that the Lord of you and of them is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So you get this pattern. Submit, rule well. Starts with the very basic, I believe the most powerful relationship here on earth, ordained by God, is the husband and wife. Wives submit, husbands rule well. Then it goes to the next part and extends out into the family. Children, submit. Fathers, rule well. And then it says slaves, as we go out into the world and the things we're doing, whether we're business owners or whether we're employees, it says submit. And if you're a boss, rule well. So it establishes that pattern. And in verse 10, this is where I want to focus this morning, or begin to focus on this. It says, For the rest, my brothers, be made powerful in the Lord and in the might of his strength. And that part where it says, for the rest, I thought, well, what's he talking about? For the rest what? If you're not a slave and you're not a boss, and for the rest of you that are just lazy bums and aren't doing anything, what's this talking about? And as I saw the pattern, it's saying, submit and rule. Submit and rule well. Submit and rule well. And it just keeps going through this pattern of the whole thing. And then it says, for the rest, my brothers, or henceforth, after you get that principle, when you learn how to submit and you learn how to rule well, because all of us, I'll use the men, we go to work and we submit to the boss, but we come home and we rule well, or we're supposed to. Okay, so all of us in our lives, we have areas in our lives that we are to submit. We have areas of our life where we rule. So all of us need to get that principle of submitting and ruling well. Got that one? I repeat that one enough? And then it says, for the rest, meaning henceforth, from here forward, when you get this principle, now do this. And it says, be made powerful in the Lord and in the might of his strength. To be powerful means to be invigorated or be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his strength. The might in the Greek is kratos, and it means more especially manifested power, dominion, and it denotes the presence and significance of force rather than its exercise. Okay? The dominion or the power that this is talking about, the might, is, how do I explain? It'd be the difference between me standing up here and Andrew, okay? Everybody's seen how big Andrew is lately, or I'll use Tom as an example. It would be the difference of between me and Tom, okay? To another man, some might look at it and go, Tom would have the might. It isn't about him exercising it. What they're seeing is the size and the potential power that's going to come from that size, where I'm less than a threat. Make sense? The might isn't about how they're exercising. It's just there is a presence to the whole thing that makes you rethink where you're going with it. Okay? It says in the, be made powerful or be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his strength. And the strength is physical strength, mental or moral power as an endowment. It is inherent power. And inherent means it's existing in someone as a permanent and inseparable element. We should be encouraged in that. Knowing Jesus, his might and his strength, meaning it doesn't matter what comes at him, his might and his strength are never diminished. It doesn't matter how many times people curse him. It doesn't matter if the enemy comes against him. It doesn't matter about anything that comes at him. Nothing diminishes who he is. And it tells us that we should be empowered. We should be invigorated by that. Find yourself, if you learn how to submit and how to rule well, we should be empowered to engage in the whole thing simply because he is, and nothing diminishes who he is because the Father has declared it. Make sense? It's an endowment. The Father endowed him with this, and we should be encouraged in that. So for the rest, my brothers, be made powerful in the Lord and in the might of his strength. And then in verse 11 it says, put on all the armor of God. The word put on is aorist middle imperative in the Greek, meaning middle voice, you do it, imperative commandment. It's not set back and say, Lord, put the armor on me. The Lord is commanding through the Holy Spirit and through Paul's writing, and he's saying, you put it on, commandment. So you have to be purposeful, and this is an important word today, is being purposeful. You, with intention, have to put it on. It is a commandment of God, and it says, put on all the armor of God. All the armor is one word in the Greek, and it is panoplia, I believe is the right, correct pronunciation. The first word is pan, P-A-N, and it means all, but it includes the idea of oneness, a totality or whole. And then the second word is hoplon, and it is an instrument, an implement for preparing a thing. Metaphorically, meaning instruments with which something is affected. So this word, all of the armor, it isn't looking at it going, okay, I have to put all the armor, and I'm seeing them as separate things. The helmet of salvation, as the scripture continues, it goes into the helmet, and gird your loins, and the breastplate of righteousness, and all of these things. It's not seeing them as individual pieces, saying I have to put them all on. Well, now I have all the helmet on, or all of this. It's seeing them and changing our perspective to realize that if you don't have them all, you have none. They are one together. It isn't separate implements that you can choose to put one on and not the other. If you lack in one, you've diminished the rest of them. You need to see them as a whole, and it's not okay to stop short of not putting on all the armor of God. And it's commanded, you slip into it, you put these things on, for you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is where we'll start getting into the Doppler effect. It says, put on all of the armor, okay, as a whole, putting on all the armor of God for you to be able to stand. And the word for in the Greek is pros. And it means toward. It means, it doesn't say, put on the armor of God so that you can just stand there and look good. But it's to put on the armor of God with a purpose, with an intent. There is a reason that you put it on. He's commanding us to put it on. He says, put on the armor of God, the whole thing, toward you being able to stand against, and that word against is the same thing. It's pros, toward the wiles of the devil. Put on all the armor of God towards you being able to stand, you being empowered, you being enabled to stand toward the methods. And this is the Greek word is methodeia. And that's actually where we get our word method. So he's saying, put on all the armor of God towards you being able to stand towards the methods of the enemy or towards the strategy of the adversary that's coming against you. Everybody putting their armor on here? Are you getting this mental picture? There's a purpose, and remember, it's towards something. It says to be able, let's see here. Pros implies motion or direction. Also expressing dependence on or relation of any kind from or with someone. So it is a dependence. What this is expressing is having a dependence on the armor towards being empowered or being able to stand, and then depending on being empowered towards the methods of the adversary. Okay? To be able means due to the given resources. So it's all back to verse 10 again. It says, be made powerful in the Lord and in the might of His strength. Okay? All of that is what you're depending on. And after you are depending on that, you learn submit, you know how to rule well, you get that whole function in your life, and it will bear fruit. Then you come to the place where you can put on the armor of God towards being able to stand towards the methods of the enemy. But all along, you're depending on the power and might of Jesus Christ. See the progression and how it's going towards something? Verse 12. Because wrestling against flesh and blood is not to us, but against or toward the rulers, toward the authorities, and toward the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual powers, is what most of the scriptures say, spiritual powers of evil in the heavenlies. The wrestling, or the, in that word speaks of the hand-to-hand combat. Anybody have any wrestling going on in their life? Got some hard circumstances? Remember, the things we were talking about last week is that faith is for the purpose of exposing things that are not being observed. And then going on, and it says, by faith, we understand that the circumstances that are going on around us are not being caused by things that seem apparent. It's not because of your reason or your logic that you can figure out why it's causing your circumstance. What it's saying is, by faith, there are things in the spirit that are governing or influencing the things that are going on in your life. And until we learn how to deal with that, we don't know how to deal with our circumstances. But oftentimes, we run around trying to wrestle with people. It says, because wrestling against flesh and blood is not to us, but towards the rulers, towards the authorities, and towards the world's rulers, or the system might. And basically what this draws out is a hierarchy in the spirit. So the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual powers in heavenly places. And it would kind of look like this. I put the arrows so you can see the cycle of it or the system of it. Okay, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, where's it at here? Help me out. The word rulers is archos in the Greek, and it means the originals or the sovereignties. This would be the highest level in the spirit. This would be the most powerful. This would be, we'll use Satan, okay? And then it says against rulers, toward authorities, which that word authorities is the word we've been talking about, and what we're actually teaching on is exousia. Okay? Exousias, and it says, and it speaks it in plural. Against the authorities, and then the last part when it says toward the world rulers, and the world rulers would be the system mites. The word is kosmokratos, and it's the system. Remember the word kratos that we looked at? It denotes the presence and significance of force rather than them in its exercise. Okay? It's that might, the word might that we looked at earlier. It is the system might. Okay? Meaning, I'm gonna put just SM, system mites. These are the ones that are hands-on influencing, not by the exercising in the physical, but by spiritual influence. These are the ones that are causing the flesh and blood to react in the circumstances that are around us. Does that make sense? Anybody got any questions? Okay. What this is saying is when we put on the armor of God so that we can stand, it's saying that we do not wrestle. Spirit of God is in me. Power of the cross, there's my shield of faith, all the armor of God. I'm standing in the armor of God, but mine is not to wrestle against this. Mine is not to try to come against this and bring a resistance to this to make this change. I can't. We do this in our families, we do it in the workplace, we see it all over the place. We get caught up in the circumstances and telling people, you can't do that. Stop doing that. That's wrong. Slapping them on the hand. No. Can't do that. And we as the church, oftentimes, we come against the rest of the world telling people, you can't do that, trying to get them to change the behavior. And how's it working out for us? Anybody change anybody lately? Doesn't work. What this is saying is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we've been given exousia. When we walk in obedience, there is spiritual authority. This same word exousia, the Spirit of God being in us, God works through us for the purpose of coming against these. And when we come against these, we now hinder how this is being run and what's causing this to operate in the flesh and blood and manifest in the things that we see in the world. Making sense yet? So how's the Doppler effect work? Basically, when I'm praying and when I am understanding it and I put on the armor of God and I understand what it is to submit and rule well in every area of my life, and I understand and I'm constantly reminding myself of that principle because that doesn't just come naturally. Anybody just easy to submit? You're awful quiet in here this morning. When I'm obedient and I pray and I quit trying to wrestle with this, and I start walking in the Spirit and understanding what's going on by faith, that my circumstances aren't caused by what seems apparent, but I'm willing to go in prayer and deal with things in the Spirit and come against the spiritual forces that are influencing and causing the behavior that's offensive to me. Make sense? Or offensive to the Spirit of God in me. Let's put it that way. When I start doing this, I'm sending out, there's those waves. Okay? Following me now? The more obedient that I am, the more exousia I am given, which requires me to really focus on submitting and ruling well, because we start getting a little prideful about that point. I still have to fall back on and remember who my source is and where this is coming from. But as I continue to walk in this and remain humble, and instead of coming against flesh and blood, I learn how to pray and understand the spiritual principles that are taking place, I can now cause an effect in this. So earlier, in that video, it's talking about the jet. Or it's talking about we get the forward motion. And everybody understand how the waves, they bunch up. Everybody get that? We've all heard it at one time or another. A siren or somebody honking a horn. They're coming towards you and they go by and you get that whole effect. Okay, in the frequency. Anybody didn't understand that real clear? Everybody did understand it really clear? All right. What happens with the jet is as it increases in speed, let's see if I can remember how to draw this. And here's the plane. If you get going, if what is moving is faster than these are traveling, you start getting out in front of it, and it creates this cone. And you saw it in the moisture on the jet when it went by. You could see the moisture foaming. And Jim, help me out if I missed something here. As the jet gets moving in momentum, okay, it's going faster than the speed of the sound waves are coming. To the point that if the jet, as it went by, if you could hear it and tune into it enough, and the guy was yelling, help, as he goes by, you're over here observing it. As it goes by, you're going to hear this sound before you hear any of these. Make sense? You're not going to hear the word help, because the sound, you're going to hear this before you hear any of these sounds. Make sense? This made me think. I'm hoping I'm explaining this properly. The point is, when I start getting purposeful, I can stand here and pray. And the sound waves go out. But if I start getting purposeful, and here's the enemy, here's the things we talk about, the sovereigns or the originals, here's the authorities, and here's the world might, everything that Ephesians 6 is telling me. When I start getting purposeful and coming at it, as I get closer, the frequency is closer. Make sense? There's the power of the authority starting to happen. Because the more I walk in obedience, the more momentum I gain, because I'm being purposeful and going at very strategically what God is telling me to go at. Make sense? Now I'm changing the frequency. Now I'm beginning to cause things to happen. And at a certain point, let me draw one more thing here. The sound wave on a linear. When I speak, the sound wave comes out like this. Okay? So there's the wave that we were representing by the circles. Everybody follow me again. All right. The unity starts happening when we join together. Because this starts getting higher. If there's multiple of us, I can stand here and open the door, and when I start singing, down the street somebody might hear me. But if we join together in unity, the volume becomes greater, the mass, so to speak, would become greater. We're going to move more air, causing a bigger wave, and they're going to hear us further down the street. And those that are closer, it's going to get louder. The impact of it's going to be stronger. Is that explained right, Jim? Okay. So the volume is going to, and the unity, so to speak, is going to cause this wave to get bigger, which carries more force. Make sense? There you go. That's another way, and it's all the Doppler effect, okay? At the point, make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself here. What we're seeing in the physical is revealing what actually is taking place in the spiritual when we will pray. Okay? When we will come together very purposeful, understanding scripture, practically applying it, knowing our circumstances aren't caused by things that seem apparent, but we will join together in unity and begin to pray against the spiritual things that are causing the circumstances to happen. There's where we start walking in the authority of God. Now we're beginning to make things happen. And the more we walk in obedience, the faster and more momentum it picks up. And the powerful thing about this is, remember it was talking about the shockwave, and it said the shockwave, it is caused by the air that can't get out of the way fast enough. So I don't know if I can draw this. But think about this in your mind. as we join in unity, the unity, it says where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I will be also. So we know by faith that when we begin to gather and we begin to be purposeful and applying the word of God and praying into situations, when we begin to join in unity, it is inviting and pleasing to the Lord. And the next thing you know, he comes in and the scripture says that God is light. So now we're talking about a whole different level of wavelength. And would that be the right words? A whole different level of frequency? Would that be right, Jim? We're talking about light instead of sound. Light moves at 186,000 miles a second versus, what's the speed of sound? 680? Somewhere right around there? Around 700 miles an hour. So the more we begin to be in unity, the more the Lord, the Spirit of God begins to move with us. Now we break into what we would call supersonic speed. We get out there in the front, and the enemy that we're coming against can't get out of the way fast enough. And at that point is revival. At that point is transformation. We get in line with what God is doing, start praying into it, and the momentum of that unity begins to have a force. And when we begin to just flow in line with what the Spirit of God is doing, it creates a shockwave, and instead of just moving air, we are changing the spiritual environment over our community. What's in the wake of this and in here is the kingdom of God, which Romans 14 says that that is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's where the kingdom of God manifests. It's in the wake of what we're doing out here in the front. Anybody see this? And it's very purposeful. It says toward something. Put it on for a reason. See what the scripture is talking about. It's not just if you want to. It's speaking to the body. It is the preparation of the bride. It is preparing of the remnant. It is everything that you look at, however you want to look at it in scripture, whether it be the bride or the body, whatever it is, this is it happening. And the more unity there is, and the more we will serve, and the more we will submit and rule well, the more momentum this thing picks up. So what happens? It depends on where you're observing from. You can get in and be a part of the church. Let's say this is the church moving forward. You can get in and be a part and engage at wherever you're at maturity level. It doesn't have to mean that you're out here in the front, okay? But you have to be in it to observe the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Spirit. And we're going towards the enemy. If you're standing outside of it and observing, what happens is, what it looks like is the enemy is coming at us. And fear begins to happen. And anxiety begins to happen. And we begin to think that the circumstances are causing everything and nothing will ever change. And we get down and depressed. We end up dwelling in all the darkness and we lose hope. And there's nothing in it. All because of where we're standing and observing and what we think would happen. There are some that would look back at what was going on with my wife and her health, and they would look at it in a spiritual principle and say, oh, the enemy's just attacking them. Really? Or was the Lord taking us through something in order to gain momentum and we're tearing down the gates of hell? It's all a matter of perspective, is it not? Do you feel like the enemy's just coming at you? Or are you going at him purposely? Have you put on the armor of God? Have you learned how to submit? Have you learned how to rule well? It starts in the home. Starts in our marriages, in our relationships. Have we learned how to submit? Have we learned how to rule well? Are we taking that pattern into our lives? And are we putting on, as it's commanded, to put on the armor of God for the purpose of wrestling not against flesh and blood and coming against the world system, but coming against the very powers that be that control the world? That's where the change happens. Are we engaged or not? It's not okay to just be an observer. Not okay to sit there. Do you want to be in what's causing the wave, or do you want to be slammed by the wave when it reaches you? This is the difference between being on the rock or being squished by the rock. What are you going to do? You going to cling to the rock and be a part of the rock, or are you just going to sit there and let it hit you? It will. The day of judgment comes. He is the judge. Do you see this picture? We wonder why we're floundering in it, because we keep trying to wrestle with flesh and blood and fix our circumstances rather than trusting God and walking in the power that He's given us. This is the exousia. It's the Doppler effect of the Spirit. It is what we put terms to, like transformation and revival and all of these different things that we want. Reformation, call it what you want. Usually, back through history, any revival, I don't care what term you put to it, reformation, anything else, starts with a small group of people that begin to seek the holiness of God. And all they want is the presence of God, and they're willing to sacrifice anything in order to see it manifest. What they want to see is the kingdom of God. And when they begin to move in unity, it begins to grow, because all of a sudden, it brings the kingdom to an observable place, because they're walking in the holiness of God. And to some it attracts, and to some it offends. But those that it attracts, they get in, and when they will start seeking, now the unity begins to grow. We're causing a bigger wave that's coming at a faster frequency all the time against the forces of hell. And now things begin to change. Does this make any sense to anybody? Because wrestling against flesh and blood is not to us, but towards rulers, towards authorities, toward the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenlies. And it isn't just, the word powers isn't even there. It is to the spiritual evil in the heavenlies. Verse 13, because of this, due to all of this, due to the fact that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, that it is a spiritual thing that we're fighting, because of all the things that are shared, it says, take up all the armor of God. Again, it's imperative. It's a commandment. Take up every implement of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having worked out all things to stand. And having worked out all things, meaning having effected all. So when we do that, it says, because of this, take up all the armor of God that you may be able to resist. And this is the same word that James uses in, what is it, James 4:7. And it says, then be subject, submit. Then be subject to God, resist the enemy or resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So in order to do what James is talking about, Paul just takes it in a little more detail. Submit and rule well. Submit and rule well. When you get that from that point forward, in submitting and ruling well, put on the armor of God so that you may be able to resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when we put on the armor of God, when we get to that point in putting on the armor of God and walking in it, we are now standing and resisting the enemy. And when we resist, he must flee. Now, where he flees and when he flees, I like to think that it's when the shockwave hits him. Because I think that's just kind of a manly thing to me. Maybe it's long before that. I don't know. Either way, he's getting out of the way. Either way, he has no power. Either way, he has no more authority to lie, steal, and destroy. He loses his power and he begins to flee. And the only difference is, you want to know how he has any power or authority in our lives right now? Because we believe him. Because we believe him. So are you going to believe and be in here? Or are you going to stand out here and say, yes, I believe? Because we're commanded to get into here. We're commanded to put on the armor of God. We're commanded to go towards the things of the Spirit that are coming against the world. Can I get an amen? Can I get a head shake? Anything? Anybody get this at all? I got to be careful because I know the wheels are turning right now. But do you see how the Doppler effect and what's revealed in the physical? It's revealing a spiritual law. And it's something that God is calling us into and He wants us to grasp, because He doesn't want us going through all the suffering and everything that we're going through. No fear. Imagine no fear. Illness. I mean, what other things are there? The disease, all the different things that we're suffering in the flesh. Jesus Christ is redeemed. It goes back to what we started with this morning with Melchizedek. Do you believe the proclamation that God created the heavens and the earth and He has delivered our enemies into our hands? Do you believe that? Because if you do, it's real easy to get in here. It's real easy to start submitting. If you really trust him, it's easy to submit to your boss. Who are you trusting? Are you going to trust the Lord? Yeah, you may go under a little persecution. It may be hard at work for a little bit. But if you do continue to submit and you show the right heart, God doesn't leave you in that place for very long. What he's looking for is to purify your heart, making sure that you're not doing it to just, he's not dangling a carrot out there. It's got to be with the right heart. He'll put you in those circumstances because if you don't learn and just know you submit because God says so and he's faithful, if you don't get that, as soon as something starts coming against you, you won't submit and you won't rule well. There's a pattern here. There's revival here. There's transformation. There's the power of God. Here is Apostle Paul and Peter and John in the book of Acts. What are they doing? Walking in obedience, walking in unity, and they are going towards the things of the enemy. They're going at him and standing against it, no matter what came against them, realizing that the circumstances and the persecution they were dealing with wasn't because of what seemed apparent, because somebody didn't like them. There were spiritual forces at work. But God was also at work, and when they were in prison, suddenly the prison gates were being opened up. These are the things that we're reading about. This is the principle of what was going on in the books of Acts. And I don't know about you, but I'd really like to be the church of Acts. I'd like to be the continuation of that book, rather than just sit and dream about how great that must have been. Amen? Thanks, Jim, for the Doppler effect. Want to add something to this? Thank you. Now I have this more to study, and next week it'll be Jim's fault too. All right. Anybody want to share? Anybody want to got a comment? It's what? Okay. Yeah, it's a response to the truth. It's a response to the Word of God. And in that response is the work. Okay, that's the works that it's talking about. Anybody else? Wow. Shut it down today. All right, where's Taylor? Want to come play a song? Again, this is just a time to think, because I know how it goes. If we walk out of here right now, chances of you thinking about this throughout the week are pretty slim. So let's take a moment right now. What's that? Because I will do the same thing until my life slows down towards the end of the week and I've got to prepare for next week. That's awesome, and I appreciate that. You know, I hope that it does stay with us, but sometimes anybody's life just seems like it's just chaos right now. Then for those that it just seems like chaos and the chances are you're going to walk out the door and life is going to hit you and you're going to have struggle with this, let's take a moment right now, all of us together, and think about this. Let's pray and ask God to reveal it to us in a different way. Because he is calling us to something and time is drawing near. The Bible speaks of a time in Revelation that says there are things that are going to happen to remove peace from the earth. I don't know about you, but I want to find out how to be in peace now so nothing can take it from me. You get caught up. Anybody watch the news very much and tell me that you're not feeling a little anxious by the time you turn it off. If you can stand to watch it anymore, I don't even like to watch it. I won't turn it on. It'll wind you up like an 8-day clock. Anybody feel that way when they watch the news? It's like, I'd rather read my Bible. I'd rather learn how to trust him who is controlling all these things and framing all of the ages according to his word. Amen? Let's stand and worship the Lord for a minute.